You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
To New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We're wrapping up the month of June with a look at Pride. In our cover story, we're going to introduce you to some members of the Oshkosh community who share why they work so hard to provide safe spaces for LGBTQ plus youth and adults. Amanda Nimmer takes a look at the history of Pride across New Wisco. We also have stories on Pride in Green Bay, along with an explanation of a package of Pride-centered bills introduced to the Wisconsin legislature. Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week, which is a fun and quotable movie. Plus, our musical guest is perfect for this issue of New Wisco Weekend. Cat and the Hurricane will be headlining Oshkosh Pride Sunday night at 5:45. You'll get a chance to hear some of their award-winning original tunes coming up a little bit later. First, our lead correspondent Terry Barr talked with members of the band who are currently on tour, and you may be surprised by some of the things that they revealed. Here's Terry.
Lisa, Cat and the Hurricane is made up of Cat Rhapsody, Benjamin Rose, and Alex Nelson. The Madison-based trio just won 5 Madison Area Music Awards, including a big one, Performer of the Year. This group loves their live shows, and talked to me and my MaxInc Radio co-host Rocker about some of their experiences while on the road, the bad and good.
We're just a group of queer kids that have always wanted to be in a band, and we found community within one another, booking shows, booking tours, doing community-based events. We released an album last year. Every day is another step forward in the direction of just being touring artists. We really love it.
We actually just got to play a really amazing sold-out show in D.C. because we befriended this band, Pretty Bitter, who was playing in Madison. Cat brought them cheese curds because they really wanted cheese curds. A little act of kindness goes a long way.
Yes.
Do this for our people, and that is like the other queer and trans folks, and especially getting to play like Pride festivals. But we also want the music to be good and to be creative and to be something new. And so to have the music scene as a whole see us, we just try to put our heads down and work hard and put the positive energy towards other people. It comes back to us in big ways. So I think anyone else who's listening that's like, how do you do that? It's just learn to surround yourself with the right people, be around the energy that's coming back to you. You'll be amazed at what could happen.
I love it. It's manifesting what you want and what you need.
Yeah. As an openly all queer and trans band, what issues do you face on the road as a result?
This is something that we talk about a lot. We are an openly queer and trans band, and we always try to be the representation that we needed when we were aspiring musicians. It's a dangerous time. We have to think about where we're doing anything, like where we're playing, of course, who we're playing with, of course, but where we're going to the bathroom, what laws are enacted, in some cases really recently, so that restrict our ability to just exist or even perform in spaces. Where are we going to sleep? Where are we going to stop to eat? Or is anything worse going to come to us? We have a lot of privilege too. So we know that we get it not as bad as a lot of our, for example, Black and brown, trans and queer siblings, right? We think about those things a lot. This is definitely something that's really important for folks who are on the other side to also kind of know that. We're really lucky that we always are working with bands and venues that are, either queer or trans or in independent in terms of venues, and the staff usually cares, and it's usually a safe space. But once we leave those places, we never really know what's going to happen. So
is it a chance to educate and create some awareness to get to use other music opportunities to try to share a message with people?
I think us just being out in the world and existing as we are, honestly, that's really huge. There are a lot of people who don't know that there are non-binary people making really, really rockin' music out of Wisconsin, right? And so by leading by example, in the sense of we try to leave a positive impact wherever we go, and we have our dignity, we're going to say no or walk away from certain things, right? But just kind of existing and doing what we do, you just never know the seeds that are planted in folks. We try to be good representation for the trans community in particular at this moment in time.
We'll have music from our featured band, Cat and the Hurricane, coming up for you in just a bit. On June 1st, the city of Green Bay kicked off Pride Month with a community-wide celebration featuring a Pride flag-raising ceremony and a resource fair at Liked Park in downtown Green Bay. About a dozen community exhibitors showcase local organizations that provide support, services, and resources to the LGBTQ+ community and its allies. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich said that the city had ignored the LGBTQ+ community for years, but now Green Bay is considered a city of support.
As some of you might know, when I was elected, our score on the Municipal Equality Index, which is something that the Human Rights Campaign puts together, was a pretty lowly 28. Now we are very proud to be able to say that we have 100, a perfect score here in the city of Green Bay.
Later, Genrich said that the Common Council and the Equal Rights Commission were instrumental in helping the city increase its equality score.
Yeah, we made some good progress. You know, thanks to members of our Common Council who have created the Equal Rights Commission, who have created that non-discrimination ordinance that we have on the city books. Because of the fact that we are very proudly raising the flag and have proclaimed it to be Pride Month in June here in the city of Green Bay, you know, we've made some real strides in that area, and we're going to keep doing that.
Several Green Bay alders were present. Local legislators like 30th Senate District Senator Jamie Wall, 89th District Representative Ryan Spouty, and 90th District Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner were also present. Rivera-Wagner and Spouty are both out gay men and both serve on the LGBTQ+ caucus at the state legislature. Representative Rivera-Wagner.
Especially during dark times, to love out loud is a radical act. To be partnered with the mayor of Green Bay, who sees our community, who's trying to make sure that every resident, no matter how they identify, who they love, how they show up, can thrive in the city of Green Bay. And that, to me, is worth celebrating.
Spouty told the crowd about a package of bills that the LGBTQ+ caucus introduced at the beginning of June, including a bill to ban conversion therapy, repeal the traditional marriage amendment in the Constitution, recognize June as Pride Month, and a bill to end the gay or trans panic defense. Representative Spouty.
I don't know if these bills are going to become law this session, or the next one, or the one after that. But I know with all of my heart, every fiber of my being, these bills will become law one day in Wisconsin.
Green Bay Common Council member Joey Presley said it's important to him to have a city that's supportive of the community and all of its members.
The next thing I want to do is I want to see our city ban conversion therapy. Ryan and Ahmad can't get it done at the state level, we're going to do it here.
Following the speeches, the Pride flag was raised at Like Park and flew throughout the month of June, symbolizing Green Bay's ongoing commitment to diversity, inclusion, and acceptance. Green Bay Communications Manager Michael Bergman.
And it looks like Elder Presley has got it in.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep going.
As you will, Joey, raise the Pride flag.
Following the flag raising, the crowd enjoyed the Levitt Amp Green Bay Music Series featuring live performances, food trucks, and many community activities. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
Happy Pride from New Wisco Weekend on WISS and WGBW and the Civic Media app.
In honor of Pride Month, our commentator Amanda Nimmer has a bit of a history lesson for us on New Wisco Weekend.
When everyone thinks about the Pride movement, they think about all the bigger cities like Stonewall in New York, which is where the movement really kind of took off back 56 years ago in 1969. Instead, they're thinking about bigger cities like clearly New York, Florida, California, Milwaukee, Madison. They're thinking big. They're thinking large. But have you ever considered thinking small? Something more scaled, something more local in your area. Because while, yes, in 1969, the Stonewall riot did spark the movement did continue. And it was even small areas like ours that did a lot of work in that short span of 56 years. So let's go through a little bit of history, shall we? So yes, it did start in 1969, the movement, that is. See, the police would come to these places to check people for IDs and make sure that people were following the law. Like, a female had to be wearing at at least 3 female-identifying pieces of clothing, or 2 people of the same sex were not allowed to dance together. So they came to check on that, and people have had enough. Tensions had built. It spilled over. That movement started flying throughout the United States. In fact, in Appleton in 1973, they formed the Fox Valley Gay Alliance, which attracted members from Fond du Lac, Wausau, Green Bay, Manitowoc, and they met every other Tuesday at a random member's home. It was because of this group that in 1974, they found that they actually needed a bigger space. And that is what helped create the first openly gay bar in Appleton. It was known as Doris's Super Bar, which is where the meetings were originally held. However, Doris's Super Bar was sold and it became Lambda Lounge. Was there backlash? Absolutely. In fact, patrons were told never to enter the bar or leave the bar alone because, well, they might get jumped. This lounge paved the way for similar bars to start popping up, not only in Appleton, but in surrounding cities. Did you know that the first professional athlete to come out publicly was a Packer? In fact, in 1973, Green Bay Packers Dave Copay told a reporter for the Washington Star that he is gay. Granted, he was retired at the time, but he was still the first to do it. He did so sacrificing his career, became blacklisted from jobs, and alienated by his family. Even received death threats from his father. Yikes. Let's fast forward a few years. In 1983, the Center Project was born. Because of a growing health crisis, which we now know today as AIDS and HIV, a small group of individuals were discussing what can they do to be proactive? What can they do? They felt there needed to be structure and research in response to this. So the Center Project, which is the Community Endeavor for Needs and Testing, Education, and Referral, was born. In the first few years, nobody was paid. It was completely volunteer-based. But then in 1987, they received grants that allowed them to hire staffing. And eventually, in 97, it merged with the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin and became the Center Project Incorporated. And did I fail to mention this all originated in Green Bay? We're going to fast forward to 2002, where high school students at Neenah High School, all they wanted to do was create a gay straight alliance club. That was it. It would have been the first outside of Madison and Milwaukee. The school actually denied their request. They said that they already had an inclusion group, but the students felt that that group was more important for other members regarding issues around race. They filed an appeal with the board, which garnered intense media attention because they also paired with the ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union. And they were ready to take it to court. But thankfully, in October of 2002, after a school board meeting and hours upon hours of statements from community members and students, the board finally approved their status. A massive win for your New Wisco area. You can find out more about this timeline by going to our websites. I know because I made it. You can read about how Spectrum New was founded in 2007, how UW Oshkosh opened an LGBTQ plus resource center in 2008, who the first couples in Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh were to officially get married after the ban was lifted, and all about Representative Lee Snodgrass, who became the first openly LGBTQ plus member of the state legislature from our area. And it ends with the Napolese Lounge in Green Bay officially becoming the oldest gay bar in Wisconsin. And that's not something to be celebrated. So as Pride Month is starting to end, we'll see you guys at Oshkosh Pride and take a moment, go through the history, learn a little something or two. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, TJ Hobbs and Grayson Sizer discuss the importance of being true to oneself. And we'll take a closer look at a series of bills introduced in the Wisconsin legislature by the LGBTQ plus caucus. First, did you know that the original Pride marches and festivals started on June 28th in 1970? People gathered in Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York to mark 1 year after the Stonewall riots. That's when police in Manhattan's Greenwich Village raided a gay club there, leading to days of protests. Since that time, Pride is meant to be a way to promote diversity and equity, along with a feeling of inclusion. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local civic media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, bills that are in front of the Wisconsin legislature addressing issues in the LGBTQ plus community. First, we've got Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
For this week's classic pick, we head to Greenleaf, Indiana for the shock of a lifetime. Can you imagine having a student who goes on to win an Oscar while you sit at home watching with your devoted fiancé as your former student gives his acceptance speech? You sit there with a gleam in your eye, warmth in your heart, and tons of pride until he tells the entire world you're gay. The film, of course, is In and Out, which is the story of Howard Brackett, played by Kevin Kline, a small-town English teacher about to walk down the aisle and exchange wedding vows in a week. Needless to say, the announcement shocks everyone in town, and most of all, Howard.
So maybe I should thank someone else. Someone who's really been there. Someone who taught me a lot about poetry and Shakespeare and just like, you know, staying awake, man. Someone who's just an overall great guy and a great teacher. To Howard Brackett from Greenleaf, Indiana.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, I can't believe it.
And he's gay.
Rarely does an Oscar ceremony have such a ripple effect on a small town. But following the broadcast, the media descends on little Greenleaf as Howard tries to convince everyone in town he is heterosexual, mostly himself. In one scene, he goes to confession and the priest encourages him to consummate his relationship with his fiancée, played by Joan Cusack. The two have not slept together at this point in the film, but Howard talks her into it to prove to himself he is hetero. Howard does his best, but can't go through with it. The story moves along and sees Brackett befriend a reporter who sticks around after the media leaves town because he is interested in covering Howard and Emily's wedding. Howard soon learns that the reporter, Peter Malloy, played hilariously by Tom Selleck, is openly gay. Malloy encourages Howard to accept who he is and shares his own experiences. One scene between the two ends with about a 10-second kiss, which Howard is not totally repulsed by. The final test in Howard's indignation that he is straight is going through with the wedding, but you can imagine how that goes. The film also addresses the fallout people struggling with their sexuality dealt with in the late 90s, and sadly today. Coming out and admitting who you are to yourself is one thing, but as Howard finds out, not everyone is as accepting. As great of a teacher as Howard is, he is disqualified for being Teacher of the Year. Cameron Drake, the student whose Oscar speech put the story in motion, is played by Matt Dillon, who shows up to encourage the town to rally around Howard, who to some small-minded citizens has become a social outcast. Howard ends up not receiving his Teacher of the Year award, but does find something so much more important. And just when you think everything comes back down to earth, the film was directed by Frank Oz, who has built one of the most unique and interesting resumes in all of show business over the course of his long career. Oz was the puppeteer and voice of Yoda in Star Wars films. He worked on the show Sesame Street for over a decade, where he voiced beloved characters Bert, Grover, and Cookie Monster. He has voiced numerous characters in more recent films like Inside Out, and in addition to In and Out, has directed films like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, What About Bob, Bowfinger, and of course the classic The Muppets Take Manhattan. In and Out also has its share of film fun facts. The Oscar that Matt Dillon holds in his Academy Awards scene actually belonged to Kevin Kline, who won it for his supporting role in 1989's A Fish Called Wanda. The idea for the film came from an actual Oscar moment in which Tom Hanks, after winning an Oscar at the 66th Academy Awards for Best Actor in Philadelphia, thanked a teacher of his who was gay. And possibly the most fascinating tidbit of all from the production of In and Out is the commitment Tom Selleck showed to the role of Peter Malloy by shaving his mustache for the part. No doubt making the kiss he shared with Kevin Kline that much smoother. Have a laugh and some good feels with In and Out. It's this week's classic movie pick. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Special this week on New Wisco Weekend, we are bringing back the Truth Booth. This is Christina, who we talked to at Oshkosh Pride last year, who told us of her unique journey.
My husband passed away when my children were very young, and I never dated or tried to find anyone else, and it wasn't until that I realized I was asexual, and there was nothing wrong with me, and I wasn't emotionally broken, and I wasn't damaged or wrong or failing in some way, that this was just me. That was a hard thing because I was really pretty sure I was broken. It felt very reassuring to know that I wasn't wrong.
Follow our stations on social media. Follow WISS on Facebook and search for 97.9 WGBW on Facebook and Instagram.
June Pride Month is even recognized by members of the Wisconsin Legislature. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The LGBTQ caucus in the Wisconsin legislature has introduced a package of bills they're calling the Equality Agenda. It includes 7 bills and 5 joint resolutions. They would ban discrimination on the basis of gender identity, update the Wisconsin Constitution to reflect marriage equality, and give legal recognition to some same-sex parents. Democratic Representative Chris Phelps from Eau Claire.
LGBTQ plus people have always lived in every corner of Wisconsin, and we always will.
The legislation would also ban conversion therapy in Wisconsin. An overwhelming majority of studies have shown trying to change someone's sexual orientation doesn't work, and it causes harm. One study showed people who went through conversion therapy were twice as likely to think about suicide. A study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association shows conversion therapy and its ripple effects, like substance use disorders and mental illness, including suicide, cost the U.S. economy $9 billion every year. Representative Lee Snodgrass from Appleton.
According to a recent report by the Williams Institute of the UCLA School of Law, an estimated 20,000 LGBTQ plus minors in states without protections will be subjected to conversion therapy by a licensed healthcare professional if state officials fail to act. And act we are.
More than half of states in the U.S. have banned conversion therapy. Now, the big question, would any Republicans get on board with this legislation? They would need to in order for it to pass. Representative Ryan Spouty from Ashwaubenon.
This bill is going to become law. I don't know if it's going to be this session or a different one, but I know it is going to happen. And that will be a very great day for Wisconsin.
The 5 joint resolutions would recognize days important to the queer community, like Trans Day of Visibility and Intersex Awareness Day.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story, a discussion on representation, inclusion, and being true to oneself. We'll be back right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. In honor of Pride Month, I sat down with 2 of Oshkosh's LGBTQ plus community members to discuss why it's important to have safe spaces for the LGBTQ plus community. Here is that conversation with TJ Hobbs and Grayson Sizer. A lot of newsworthy events have been happening in and around Oshkosh lately that have involved, and I don't want to put you on the spot because I'm not trying to, but TJ, you are a vocal supporter of trans kids and LGBTQ plus movements in city council meetings, in school board meetings. I mean, if something's going to be discussed, I can pretty much guarantee I'm going to see you there. So tell me a little bit about why you're such an activist.
Well, it might be the neurodivergence. It might be the caffeine. No, it's, you know, forgive me. My career as a comedian didn't pan out, and that's why. No, but thank you so much for your compliments. But it really is just, I wouldn't be able to live with myself personally if I didn't make my best effort to show up at these meetings, especially after learning about them and, you know, realizing, oh, wow, like they didn't teach us about city council meetings in school, probably for a reason, at least where I grew up in a very small town. So this, you know, once I realized that we have the power to speak up and use our voice to make change, I just felt an obligation to do that whenever I had the opportunity.
How do you handle the negativity that is going to come from the opposite side?
Friends and family, community support, 100%. I know because they show me every day and they tell me on a regular basis that I, you know, I'm representing more than just me in that room. I know that. And I know that I'm speaking for more than just me in that room. And I have the support of my entire community behind me. And that gives me strength when I'm in these rooms to, you know, to be my best self, to say the difficult things and to, you know, try to hold folks to account and, you know, call things as I see them and, you know, admit mistakes when I make them, because I do. But yeah, just, you know, thankful for the folks who, you know, reach out when we receive, you know, hateful messages and offer, you know, to just be a listening ear if I need it, or to, you know, say some kind words my way. I try to pay more attention to those, and I'm really grateful for my friends and family.
So in case somebody doesn't know, and hasn't been exposed to TJ, could you describe yourself?
Sure. So I have a bachelor's degree in sociology. When I went to college, I took a sociology class and fell in love, because as a young kid, I always just wanted to understand the world. I didn't get why, like, men had to look like a certain way and women, et cetera. I have a husband. I have two dogs.
Whenever you are at a common council meeting, yes, you say, this is, of course, a paraphrase because I don't have an eidetic memory and can't give you an exact quote.
Neither
but
do I.
you basically say, I was one of these kids.
Yeah.
When you're talking about making sure that trans kids and LGBTQ plus kids have the supports they need in school. You are non-binary.
Right.
And you also put the trans modifier on there as well?
I do. And not every non-binary person identifies with being trans. I always have. It's just something that I connect with on a deep level. It's up to the individual, you know. But I, you know, just that idea of feeling like I was not what the world told me I was, and how I knew that I was never, I don't want to say I felt wrong, but like I did. I felt like it was me who was wrong. But it, as soon as I was 25, I think, or 26, when I learned that non-binary, there was a word for that. And I don't want any other kid to have to wait until they're 26 years old to have the language to describe their experience as a person. It was so detrimental to my mental health to not have the language to talk about who I really was. I couldn't even share it with a therapist if I had the ability to, you know, or the money to afford one, you know, because I didn't have the words for that. I just knew that I didn't feel right. I'm really grateful now. My mental health started to improve as soon as I had that language access, as soon as I learned about what non-binary was and learned that, oh, I'm not wrong or broken or, you know, the only one. There's a whole community of people who feel like this and who share my experiences. That's such a human thing. We just want, you know, to be around folks who share our interests or share our life experiences, you know, and just have community with folks who get life like we do. And it's hard to be what you can't see. We hear that a lot, but it's so true. You know, I had Ellen DeGeneres growing up in the 90s, but I'm like, that's not quite me, but like, I like her energy. Like, I get where she's coming from, you know, but even then I'm like, that's the closest thing I had. And being non-binary is so much more than just a short haircut. Like, that's not, non-binary people have all sorts of hair. We have all sorts of bodies. We look all sorts of ways. It's really just more about how you feel inside. And when that was finally, that information was allowed to be something I could access, it shouldn't have taken until I was 26 years old.
Now, you mentioned growing up in the 90s, so I'm guessing you're Gen Z, or are you millennial?
I'm 36. I'm a millennial.
You're millennial. Okay. Yeah. So, Grayson, you're definitely Gen Z. Your experience is probably different from TJ's. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, so I was born in 99, so unfortunately I did not make the millennial cutoff. So I am technically Gen Z. I think it was still probably high school for me, so obviously a little bit before TJ, when I kind of started to know what being trans was. And it still took me quite a long time to get to that point. I mean, I think kids these days, we're still struggling with support in schools, but with kind of social media access, with all that pros and cons that comes with that, that there are kids being exposed to those things a little bit younger, where they're seeing that representation maybe in, you know, middle school or high school. And they're like, hey, that's me. And they kind of do have that language a lot younger. So I feel like we're seeing a lot of kids younger trying to identify those different ways, which I feel like is where we're getting a lot of that pushback with like kids in general, with like from the opposite side, where they don't want kids who are younger to be able to identify this way, because they're like, well, they're just kids. But as you hear from TJ's story and, you know, from my experiences, like, I wish I had those terms as a kid to know that, like, yeah, I wasn't just this weird kid who didn't fit and dressed up as a boy for Halloween every single year. And, you know, it was like, it made sense. Like, that word, it's just a word, but it made so much sense for me. And it, like, my whole life fell into place.
With the advances that you're seeing being made by your elders, the millennials, the Gen X, and you see the progress that they have made, what do you think that's going to mean for Gen Alpha?
I mean, I see, even in my generation, like, I feel like we are a bunch of kids who were raised on, like, these TV shows about resistance, and the, you know, and it's kind of, like, this idea of, like, why is Gen X or Gen Z so, you know, vocal and stuff? It's like, well, look at what we grew up on, you know, these, like, cartoons and movies and stuff, and so I just feel like the incoming generations are just going to have more and more access to more information and like things that are going on. And I only hope that they use that for good and that we have this kind of push back and, you know, to do what's right.
Do you want to build on the progress that was made by your elders, so to speak?
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, I don't want to paint this as any sort of like one generation is doing more or less than the other. Like we all, not that we are, but like, I just want to make that clear. Like that being said, we all have, like, I am so impressed by the youth of today. I'm impressed by the previous generations, you know, what they've gone through with trans black women, you know, being there at Stonewall, you know, fighting back against, you know, the police saying, you know, get out of this bar because you exist. That's not okay. And that's never going to be okay. And we carry that energy in our hearts with us every day, especially, you know, as we go to events like Pride, which we know, you know, we can do our best to make them as safe as we can, but there's still factors outside of our control from folks that don't understand us and just hate us because of that. Prior generations have taken, you know, huge strides within, you know, what information they had at the time to move things forward. And, you know, it's just always continuing to build on that. I think each generation is kind of walking in the footsteps of the ones that came before. You know, trans people have always existed. They will always exist. They aren't going anywhere. They can't. I mean, we will always be here. And we have always been here. And it's empowering. It's inspiring to see, you know, both what has been done in the past and how, you know, today the youth is taking that energy and moving forward with it still. It's just, you know, I wish we didn't have to, but I'm glad we're doing it.
And the Pride celebration that is coming up on June 29th, yes. Is that Sunday. It is a family-friendly event. I do want to mention that. So you no alcohol.
Right.
And be fully dressed when you come.
Yeah. So we call it all ages because, like, we don't know what you think is family friendly to anyone in the audience,
right.
But I know what you mean. It's kind of same thing. Everybody's welcome. And we just request that because everybody is welcome and we try to, you know, at this event, I understand, you know, we want to balance everybody's needs and wishes and, you know, leather is welcome, like appropriate for, you know, dressed up, you know, kink is welcome as long as our rule is like have a shirt on just so that we're like gender inclusive, because that's another thing. Like from, I love the folk, like, why are some nipples appropriate and others aren't? I don't want to be the nipple police. So like just no, have a shirt on. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a whole other thing about the patriarchy, but that really gets to me. But all that being said, yeah. Just be dressed, you know, have fun, but dress as fun as you want, you know, and just, you know, have a great old time. Bring your friends, bring your kids if you feel like that's right for your family. And our show is an all ages show. So it's going to, you know, be a, you know, just dancing. I mean, you know, and just people having a good time and folks dressed up in costumes like they do in the theater. It's going to be great.
Now, as we're wrapping up, I want to ask each of you this question. So I'm going to start with you, Grayson. Is there anything you want to say that we haven't hit on, but that is like burning in your mind saying, I want to get this point out?
It's a really big question.
I know. Don't you hate it when somebody asks you that?
I think just now more than ever, it's just like the time to be yourself. Like it's a hard time right now. Like everybody is struggling. And I think, okay, how can we get to some sort of common ground? Because I feel like at this point, like we just keep getting more and more divisive in our society. And like, really, we're just like the whole thing about Pride and the LGBTQ community is inclusion. It's acceptance. Like I don't care who you are, whether you're Democratic or Republican. Like I really want to get to a point where we don't care who you are. You know, you are welcome here. People coming out of like the woodworks who have been saying like, I've always been this way. And so it's like, that's a prime example of that. We have always been here. So I think just now, like as if protesting isn't your thing, like still just being out and proud is just as much of a resistance as anything else. So I think just finding your community right now is really important. And Oshkosh Pride is there for anybody.
And what about you, TJ?
That's a tough act to follow. That was really great, Grace.
That was good.
But yeah, similar energy there is just, you know, showing up this year and moving forward, I think is so important. Just having that, you know, opportunity to meet new people, to interact with people you've never met before and learn new things and, you know, practice being curiosity. I really think curiosity is a practice that we can get better at and be mindful of, because none of us knows all the answers, you know, but we're all just doing our best and just trying to make sure you are always learning new things every day and never stopping. And I am always learning new things through, you know, new generations and the generations that came before. And I know that it can be a scary time right now, and it's okay to feel that, but it's also, I think, okay, you know, from there to just kind of remind yourself, you know, we only have one life. We have to keep going. And we've always been here. We're not going anywhere. And there's nothing anybody can say or do that's going to take away who you are. And you should be proud of who you are, because that's what makes you you.
Thank you so much, TJ Hobbs and Grayson Sizer. I do want to mention that Oshkosh Pride is this weekend. It's Sunday from 2 till 7 at the Leech Amphitheater. If it rains, Pride will move just down South Main Street to inside the Oshkosh Arena. Coming up, Cat and the Hurricane. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Now, our featured music for this issue is from Cat and the Hurricane, who we met earlier in the show. The band is made up of artists who are queer and trans, and here they are.
Thank you.
at Oshkosh Pride Sunday night, Cat and the Hurricane will be sharing their songs of love and belonging, something that's personally important to them, and their music. Again, here's Cat and the Hurricane.
Take on the world. Right now I'm taking on myself. Incessantly haunted by the things that I want loved. Second and smoke and rum on my clothes. I can still smell him. Is this the caffeine and alcohol in my smell him? Fear of the past, I thought it in lies. Hurts in the morning, I thought that I could have it all. Love, caffeine, God, alcohol.
Thank you for being a part of the Pride issue of New Wisco Weekend. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features this week from Savannah Tomei Olson, Peach Waba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email us anytime. My email address is lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.